Hello, Texas, America, the world. This is Mark Gant, Fast America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 of Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station. It's going to be bringing Mark Gant, Fast America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South. We are joined today by Dr. Dalia S. Wasfi. Dr. Wasfi is a medical doctor with an education from the University of Pennsylvania Medical School. Her mother is a friend of mine. Her mother is an Ashkenazic Jewish woman, historically, who has been in recent years the head of the League of Women Voters in Dover, Delaware, when I ran for the U.S. Senate there some years ago against Tom Carper and William Roth. Dalia's father is of Iraqi nationality, and she has used her medical education to be involved in what I think is a very moving brand of political activism directly related to trying to save lives, not simply lives in her role as a medical doctor, but lives in terms of her role in speaking the truth as she sees it about what is happening in the Middle East and how the present American foreign policy in that part of the world has contributed to the deaths of thousands of people. And if it is not curtailed, we could see the deaths of thousands, potentially millions more, in my judgment, if there is not a significant reassessment of this in the days ahead. And as we look at what is going on with our presidential candidates in both of the major parties, suffice it to say that now there's no serious evidence that any of our stated major party candidates, at least the upper tier ones, have a notion or a ghost of an idea as to what it is that we're playing around with in that part of the world. Dr. Wasfi, we posted, by the way, at Breaking All the Rules News, your picture and a description of your background, but also have printed a post of your congressional testimony that links up to a six-minute video of your congressional forum testimony from April the 27th, 2006. Give our listeners a little bit of a taste of what you were talking about in that congressional forum conversation.
Sure. Well, I had just come back exactly 1 month before from staying with my family for 3 months in Basra. And because of that, because I had on-the-ground experience for that period of time when I was unembedded, just living daily life with my family, that people knew from my speakers bureau knew that I was just coming back, and they asked if I wanted to testify. And I certainly wasn't going to pass up that opportunity. And I figured, because of the nature of what I was saying, that I probably wouldn't be invited back. So I figured that was my one shot at the people responsible. And while it wasn't an official hearing. It was only a forum because it was called by the Democrats, who were the minority party at the time, and there were only a handful of people there. But for the record, I let them know that that everyone, speaking to Iraqis, not just from the time I was there in the south, but also contacts I have in Baghdad and other places in Iraq, that the Iraqi people are much worse off today than before we invaded, and that our obligation to the people of Iraq, to the people of America, and to the rest of the world is immediate, unconditional withdrawal of American forces.
Well, let's explore that one in just a second. I want to get into a lengthy conversation about this whole business, about the prospect of an immediate American withdrawal, or at least the idea that it should take place. Mm-hmm. But in regard to something on your website that absolutely spoke to me in terms of where we are at present with what is happening in that country, meaning Iraq, I was looking at a statement that you made and comparing it with what is on the front page of CNN.com this morning. And when we come back, I want to read both things and then have you comment.
Okay.
This is Mark Gant, Fast America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Dr. Dalia Wasfi. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father Don Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SaltWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would come really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% of your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back, Campus America, coming to you live from San Antonio, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Joined today by Dr. Alia Wasfi, who has a medical education from the University of Pennsylvania and has been very much involved in recent years in political activism as it relates to things Iraqi, bringing both medical expertise and her political activism into synthesis, as she has been trying to save lives both in the country as well as elsewhere, as we see approaching a point of critical mass in regard to what has been American foreign policy in the Middle East in these last 60 years. Dr. Wasfi, I was reading an excerpt from your congressional testimony in April of last year, April 27th, 2006, and it reads as follows, quote, "I speak to you on behalf of relatives on my mother's side, Ashkenazi Jews who fled their homeland of Austria during Hitler's Anschluss. It is for them that we say never again. I speak to you today on behalf of relatives on my father's side who are not living but dying under the occupation of this administration's deadly foray in Iraq. From the lack of security, to the lack of basic supplies, to the lack of electricity, to the lack of potable water, to the lack of jobs, to the lack of reconstruction, to the lack of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they are much worse off now before we invaded. Never again should apply to them too," unquote. Then I compare that with what CNN.com is telling us this morning. The lead story said, "Iraq reconstruction is slammed. Poor construction, improper design, substandard materials, and lack of maintenance plague 7-8 U.S.-funded Iraq reconstruction projects that were recently reviewed by the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction. The United States is currently spending $37 billion on Iraqi reconstruction. Put some of this together for us. It's a pretty grim picture, isn't it?
It's when you actually see it in person, it's overwhelming. There is evidence everywhere in the country of America's contribution to Iraq, and that's bombed out buildings and destroyed roads and sewage in the streets. And that, of course, stems from our assaults in the first Gulf War back in 1991, when our Air Force targeted the electricity, the water sewage treatment plants, and telecommunications centers. And the reconstruction, what's been happening is actually construction of 14 military bases throughout the country, which is overwhelming if you think of Iraq is slightly larger than the size of California. But a lot of that money, that the billions of dollars that has been appropriated by Congress, is going to the American businesses who got no big contracts, and it's for their security. As much as 80% of those contract monies goes towards security, because they don't want us there. Iraqis want us out. And so that's the reality on the ground. Had we actually done something to help the people, had we done reconstruction, had we established security, which was our responsibility, having invaded the country and disassembled society, had we done our job, it might have been a different situation. But our agenda was to secure the oil fields. And so Iraqis know. They know we're just there to take the oil, and what they would give, my experience, my conversations with them, is that just to have security back. And this is why so many Iraqis, after it became clear what our agenda was in the region, they look back to the days of Hussein as the good old days, not because they think of him as a really nice guy. That's far from it. But the reality is that's a testimonial to how bad things are today under the Americans.
Well, in terms of these 14 military bases, do you have any idea as to where these are located in Iraq? Are they disproportionately located in one part of the country, or are they spread out all over the place?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know you have, like, Camp Anaconda and Camp Victory around Baghdad. But the other bases, I know that the Iraqis had a naval base, which has been taken over by the British, and so I imagine the others are scattered across the country, because that was also with the idea of continuing American and Israeli aggression for control of the oil. The idea was to establish permanent military bases in the region, and that tends to be our agenda whenever we send troops in. For example, in Somalia, back in the 90s, under Clinton, when we went in to provide humanitarian aid, but then decided to get involved with the battles between warlords, and that's when, you know, after killing thousands of civilians, we don't even know how many because of the mass graves, but it was 19 Americans who died, and that was and when they were dragged through the streets and not shown on TV. That made the lack of popular support for that. But pretty much when we invade a country, and it's usually done under the ruse of helping, then we're there to establish bases. And we have over, I think the number is 714 military bases around the world. So if that is an empire, then I don't know what is.
Well, that's exactly right. And I had Chalmers Johnson on this show several months back now, who has written his famous trilogy on empire, the latest of which is entitled Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. And talking with Dr. Johnson about this, of course, he has a background in being an advisor to the CIA and their national intelligence estimates going back to the late 60s. And then, of course, in more recent years, he's been a tenured professor at the University of California. But as he speaks of this, the pattern that he talks about is exactly what you're scoring here, and that is that there is a recurring theme that undergirds all of American foreign policy, and that involves cheap access to raw materials and being a protagonist for corporate interests and utilizing the American military not for traditional national security notions, but basically as a janissary force for those who want to control resources internationally, and who want to ensure that there is a forward projection of American military force and an American military presence wherever these natural resources exist. It's a fairly clear picture of what we're talking about here.
That's how. Yeah, that sounds right on the money to me. And the reality is, if this is the, you know, if that's what the government wants to do, then come to the people with that and say, we need you to send your sons and daughters to go kill and be killed for corporate profit and to protect the value of the American dollar. But they knew that no way would people send their children to go die for that. And as a matter of fact, the Project for a New American Century, which you mentioned earlier, they described that in order to garner popular support for unending war, there would have to be a significant catastrophe, another Pearl Harbor, to gain the public support. So, you know, your audience can take what they want from that. But the reality is that now that things are coming to light and the truth is coming out, people are incredibly unhappy. And we've been led to believe that the Democrats are offering an alternative, but it's the other side of the same coin, and that's there's really they're not really offering anything different. They're just stalling.
Well, that's exactly right, and that brings all kinds of questions to mind, and what this is in terms of this is going to mean for any sense of legitimacy in this country in regard to our own political institutions when people see the total disconnect between these positions and the powers that support them on the one hand and what the needs and interests of the average American might happen to be on the other. And in regard to the whole situation with the American dollar, to me there's a great paradox going on here. At the same time that you can make a very, very effective case for the fact that American foreign policy, at least, is based on Zionism and the protection of petroleum interests and the protection of the petroleum dollar, on the other side of the coin, we've got a national debt that's right around $9 trillion now, and we continue to borrow exorbitant sums of money from Asian banks, especially communist Chinese banks, in regard to doing this so-called war on terror in the Middle East. That's why I think the left hand doesn't really know what the right is doing. On the one hand, we're there supposedly to protect economic interests. On the other hand, the level of debt involved in this threatens to engulf the American dollar at some point. How do you think our political leadership is going to deal with that quandary?
Well, that's actually, I think that's one of the cruxes of the matter, is that China owns most of our debt. And that also has to do with what we're doing in Iraq, because China, like some other Pacific Rim countries, China gets 75% of its oil from Iraq and Kuwait. Now, we control the flow of oil from Kuwait, no question. The al-Sabah ruling family answers our calls, and when we say jump, they say how high. So we control the flow of oil from there. But in the big picture, perhaps the neocons were considering in invading Iraq, we control the flow of oil from Iraq, and we control the flow of the majority of oil to China. And that's our last-ditch effort to keep that emerging superpower in check. And once again, if the government had come to the American people and said, you know, we need you to send your kids to go die for the value of the American dollar, I think they would have seen a lot of resistance. But we were made to be afraid on September 11th. We were lied to and told that Iraq did this, and they will do it again, and they have nuclear weapons to strike us in 45 minutes. And people were terrified, and they wanted to believe in their leaders. And the reality is that there is unbelievable death and destruction committed in our name. And I make this statement not because I agree with it, but it's often been put out there that that what happened on September 11th gave us the right to attack Afghanistan and Iraq. And if for those who believe that's true, then what have we given the Afghanis and Iraqis the license to do to us after what we've done to them? And that's why I say we not wait for our governments to pay reparations. I don't see that happening. It's up to us as individuals to do everything we can to make up for the atrocities that have been committed in our name.
Well, that's exactly right. And to me, as I look at this 9/11 situation, there's been a lot of talk about that at this network, and certainly with the American Free Press. And I'm thinking of Dr. David Ray Griffin and Dr. Stephen Jones and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and Dr. Morgan Reynolds. All of these folks who are now pointing out to us that something is seriously wrong with the official story of what happened on September the 11th, 2001. I'm convinced after reading the reports that all of these men have issued and thinking it through on my own that there is a lot more to this story than we were ever told at the time. Just as we know now There was a lot more to what happened on December the 7th, 1941, than was advertised at the time. And Robert Stitt books Day of Deceit, The Truth, FDR, and Pearl Harbor, it seems to me, is evidence of that, complete with Freedom of Information Act obtained documents from that time frame, which showed the extent to which there was a lot more involved in this than the American public ever knew.
Right.
And certainly as we look at 9/11 and connect that to this project of a new American story, there's a completely different model that is emerging on this, obviously, from the one that corporate media has wanted to spin. Let me ask you this, then. In terms of American policy in that region, where we are bringing scads of communist Chinese money to be involved in this war on terror in the Middle East, a war that is not going well for us, obviously, there are some other unintended spinoffs, I think, that we need to chat about, too. We'll be back with Dr. Dalia Wasfi. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the method himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, set files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality, then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the bedroom, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products work wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, service is great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Dalia Wasfi of LiberateThis.com. She graduated from Swarthmore College in 1993 with a BA in biology, graduated from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine in 1996, has been involved with our situation in the Middle East for quite some time now, both as a physician and as a political activist, and we've been chatting in this last hour and a half or in regard to all of the implications of this policy as we presently understand it, American policy in that part of the world, the disaster it has created, and quite frankly, the disaster that it is most likely to continue creating if there is not a change in course, which we presently don't see, certainly from either Capitol Hill or from our announced presidential candidates. And, Doctor, before the break, we were talking about a series of things related to American policy in that region. I go back to something that I remembered reading about a year after we got involved in the conflict overtly. In March of 2003, of course, in the immediate aftermath of our invasion, I remember reading a statement by the head of CENTCOM to the effect that there were an estimated 5,000 insurgents in Iraq. Then a year later, that figure was multiplied by four to come up with an estimation of 20,000 insurgents in that country. At this particular point, is it safe to say that American intelligence has no idea as to how many insurgents there are in that country because they are probably more numerous than the grains of sand on the beach? And that when it comes to getting us out of that country, that the vast majority of Iraqis, either Sunni or Shiite or Kurd, simply want us out of there?
Absolutely. The reality is that for most of history, you see action-reaction. And the United States invaded Iraq, and the reaction was a resistance, a legitimate resistance to an illegal occupation. We call them insurgents, which has a negative connotation, but those are the true freedom fighters who are fighting for their land and their country and their families. And at this point, the last poll that I saw done in 2006 showed that 60% of Iraqis support attacks against coalition troops because the coalition troops have brought death and destruction to the Iraqi people. And so just as the colonists here drove the occupying British out of this country 300 years ago, so are the Iraqis trying to drive out their occupiers. So it's by far it's the majority of the population.
Well, yes, and it seems to me that you've brought a very important comparison into play here, because presumably if the United States was attacked by a foreign power that subsequently invaded our homeland, there would be a great American resistance to that that would cut across ethnic lines, religious lines, lines of demarcation in regard to education levels and age and so forth and so on. There would be a real uprising here, presumably. I would argue that that thing is true with what we're now talking about with Iraq. The divisions that we have spoken of in that country in past time, Sunni, Shiite, Kurd, whatever, are in fact being sublimated at this point to a much wider nationalism as directed at getting the United States and Britain out of area. We'll be back. This is Mark Danpaus, America, you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Dr. Daley Wasfi of LiberateThis.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals, Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of near Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resort offers it all. Whether you're staying a weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7090. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? As Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no financing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Our free DVD and financial analysis report.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly four-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Sometimes I think life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride, make it to the fair. But there is a place sweet as you will ever know.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Dalia Wasfey. You can find her website at liberatethis.com. Dr. Wasfey, before we get into the whole business of what you experienced in that last three-month visit that you had to Iraq leading up to March of 2006, I wanted to ask you another political question. It seems to me certainly that we are dealing with a nationalistic uprising in Iraq that transcends divisions in that country. Sunni, Shiite, and Kurd presumably want us out of the picture. Of course, we could also talk about what would happen if this country attacked Iran, where I used to live in that country many years ago, and my parents were stationed there. I would predict an even more disastrous outcome if we attacked that country than the one we've already had with Iraq. And then there's this whole issue of Palestine, where despite Oslo, and despite the fact that the Palestinians at Oslo agreed to take only 22% of that land, keeping in mind that, as I understand it, about 48 or 49% that was originally allocated for them in the UN Partition Agreement of 1947. But the Palestinians were willing to settle for only 22% of that. Of that total, as well as East Jerusalem as their capital, and yet obviously the Israelis have not been buying. Now my question is this: if we cannot have a legitimate broker settlement in Palestine on behalf of the Palestinians, and if we cannot solve this Iraq question, and if the United States is foolish enough to then go ahead and attack Iran, are we not dealing with a situation where you add all of those three tragedies together, Palestine, Iraq, and Iran? Doesn't this equate ultimately to what would prove to be an absolute across-the-board backlash against the United States and the West and the Islamic world that we could not possibly bring under control?
Well, that's actually, I mean, I think it's important to note that following September 11th, I was in my residency at the time, and I remember hearing from my my colleagues from medical school, you know, this is a educated, at least a well-educated by the books population. And all they kept asking was, you know, why would anybody do this to us? Why do they hate us? They, you know, we do so much good around the world. the reality is that we have a trickle of aid, of humanitarian aid, but in comparison to what we spend on bombs and Pentagon, it's a drop in the bucket. So that right now, and for the, as you said, we've had our nose in Iraq since the 1950s. We've had an interest in that part of the world for most of the 20th century. And as long as we stick our nose where it doesn't belong, that backlash is going to happen. So again, when we look at what the hell that we've unleashed in Afghanistan and Iraq, we should not be surprised if it holds those around, comes around.
Well, yes, and I think internet technology has played a great role in this whole business as well, in terms of informing people about things that they were not informed about a generation ago.
Right.
And I've said on this program many times that if you would go back in my own personal history to the 1970s when I was in college and I was reading mainstream American conservative publications like Humanes and National Review, where, of course, I did not understand in those days some of the political and financial interests that helped to influence those publications. But in those days, I would believe anything virtually that was in those magazines and newspapers. And, of course, now, particularly when it comes to the Middle East and foreign policy, I find myself being far more amenable to the position of the old American right on this than certainly is the case with these neoconservatives. And as I examine this entire tragedy that has unfolded in that part of the world, it seems to me that part of my own, if you want to put it this way, conversion on this whole subject of Palestine and the Middle East and so forth has been as a result of internet technology, where all of a sudden someone like me has access to your website or Dr. Hanel Najjar's aljazeera.info, which is right here in this country in Dalton, Georgia, or I'm reading responsible publications from abroad that are giving me data that I never had before, up to and including photographs, which give me these dreadful pictorial depictions of things that just absolutely make me sick to my stomach, frankly. Do you think that this is potentially the most pressing problem that Court America and the Israeli lobby have when it comes to the Middle East, is folks that used to be in their camp because they didn't know any better are now encountering information that's irrefutable, that suggests there's a whole other side to this that we have not known about, speaking of people like me now, and that as we examine this from a fairer perspective, we're simply horrified at the extent to which we've been misled.
Absolutely, and it's the age of the internet, and it's the age of documentary. And there's a very good piece, a film called Peace, Propaganda, and the Promised Land, which is made by a young Israeli woman on how the Israeli lobby and the Israeli government made a special effort after the massacres at the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps. This was very bad public relations for the Israelis. And following that, there was a real clampdown on the media and control of the media, what we saw in the U.S., so that when Al Jazeera and other foreign stations are characterized as being anti-Western or anti-Bush, if it comes across that way, it's only because they're showing the truth. They're showing the reality. And when you see firsthand, I mean, we're quite used in this country to seeing unbelievable carnage in the movies and TV and video games. But when you see it, and it's no longer a game, and these are real people suffering because of our tax dollars, then it's overwhelming. So the Twain said, "The truth shall set you free, but first it will make you uncomfortable." And we all have to be pushed out of our comfort zone, because the reality is that for many parts of the world, they're already living in War III. Their children have known nothing but war and occupation, and that's actually what breeds extremism. If we sent doctors and engineers instead of American teenagers with M16s, I think the world would have a much different opinion of the United States.
Well, yes, and it seems to me again that there is going to come a time in this country when there's going to be a critical mass politically. And what I mean by this is that the implications of this disaster in Iraq become more apparent to the average American, and all the polls indicate that more people are beginning to get it in regard to what's happened in that circumstance, that as this policy continues potentially with Iran as this policy continues in Palestine and as more average Americans connect the tragedy of Iraq with those other two situations in the Middle East, I would suspect, particularly when we start talking about billions of dollars, thousands of American lives, and potentially the reinstitution of an American draft if we do this thing with Iran, I can't imagine the grassroots American public response to that sort of situation would place our people potentially in opposition in a way that has never been seen before in this country to our basic elected political leadership if those political leaders continue to tout the same they do now.
Well, it's very interesting. We were talking about AIPAC before, American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, and their influence on our domestic and foreign policy. And if you go to the site, AIPAC.org, you will see who is pushing us to attack Iran. Now, if we, I don't think there's going to be the possibility of a draft related to our involvement in Iran, because I think it would be, I think the plan would be, it sounds like it would be airstrikes. We simply don't have manpower to do a ground invasion. Number one, Iran has 70 million people versus Iraq's 27 million. Number two, Iran has not been starving 13 years under economic sanctions like Iraq had been when we invaded. And number three, they have not been disarmed. And if we are stupid and criminal enough to attack Iran, then let me tell you, they have 150,000 targets with American flags on their uniforms sitting in and around Baghdad. They have another 8,000 targets in the south of Iraq with little British flags on their uniforms. And because the Israelis have invaded all of their neighbors and are pushing us to attack Iran, if Iran is attacked, they have a right to retaliate against against the Israelis. So the idea that that we will grow our empire by attacking Iran, that could be the final blow for us.
Well, that's the exact take that I would have on it as well, morally and politically, as well as economically, militarily. I think it would be a complete disaster. It is the wrong move, wrong with a capital W, and we'll just have to wait to see how it plays. But certainly, when we look at and this is the disturbing aspect of it for me, among many, is that when you look at the pattern that preceded our decision to invade Iraq in March of 2003, it seems to me that this pattern is recurring again in regard to what could conceivably be an attack against Iran, and that when you look at how badly things went and have gone in the situation with Iraq, I find it hard to believe or to imagine that Mr. Bush could actually contemplate making the identical mistake again, potentially with even catastrophic circumstances. What are we to make of this? I mean, is he simply oblivious to reality? Is there an instability question here? Is there something in his personality that seems to motivate him in this quixotic direction?
Well, I think that he's just the front person, and if you can believe it, I've actually, looking at his statements, because usually I avoid listening to him, but if you if you get him when he has to speak extemporaneously, he doesn't have a clue, and he's really just the front person. I almost feel sorry for him, almost. The real empirical evil behind it seems to be Cheney and the neoconservatives. And frankly, from their perspective, things are going well. Things are successful for them because they're not making any sacrifices. They are reaping all the benefits. Their defense contractors are making billions of dollars worth of money. They're not sending their children to go die. And so every day that our occupation continues is big money for the corporate executives. So things are actually, I can see how they can delude themselves into thinking that they will keep going on their agenda. They've been slowed down by the resistance in Iraq. But, if the American people, if we as a whole allow these policies to continue, I don't have much sympathy for us, and that's why I do what I do today, to speak out in an effort to educate and bring another voice to the table, because the Iraqis and the Palestinians and now the Iranian people have no say in what's happening to them. It's, again, it's the families who pay the price, and our issue with Iran has nothing to do with WMDs. Just like Saddam Hussein wanted to change the currency of the food program from the American dollar to the euro in 2002, Iran just changed some of its business dealings from the American dollar to the euro, which threatened the value of the American dollar. And the very next day after they did that, it was either December of 2006 or January of this year, the very next day economic sanctions were imposed. So this has very little to do with a military threat. It has more to do with the value of the dollar.
I agree completely. As a matter of fact, I've read some of Dr. Krasimir Petrov's articles on this subject and some of the things that Mike Whitney has said on the same subject of Iran and their oil bursts. And I'm prepared to say that I believe this as well, that this is the crux of the issue here, that it has nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction and the notion that Iran – in the near-term future, has the capability of attacking the United States with a nuclear weapon from that part of the world, I think is simply technologically absurd on the basis of all of the available evidence that has come to us from a number of people that actually analyze that sort of thing from a fair perspective. But, you know, as you examine this and, again, look at this whole issue of the euro and the dollar and the stakes that are involved in this for the United States in regard to maintaining the supremacy of the petrodollar, I think that this is at the heart of the issue. And again, it gets back to me to something involving information dissemination. If you have more people receiving information from alternative media that points these things out to them to a point where they begin to honestly believe that this alternative perspective is the correct one, it's simply going to create that much more of a difficulty with political credibility for the elites that want this war to happen. And as we look at this whole situation, that burgeoning gap between elites and the rest of us in regard to this war and a series of other things, I think suggests that we could be dealing with a boiling cauldron here in the U.S. downstream.
Well, hopefully sooner rather than later, because we're running on, this empire is running on fumes, and many people are already paying the price, whether it's the 47 million Americans who go without health insurance, or, as I mentioned before, the people of Louisiana and Mississippi whose National Guard was overseas when Hurricane Katrina struck, or those who can't get their education paid for, or those who can't get their benefits. I mean, this is we're a society that's falling apart, and we're distracted by issues like gay marriage or who is the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby, when the reality is that our attention is being diverted from what is really important.
Yes, and to me, as we examine this question of diversion, do you think that there is a possibility? I've had several guests on this show who certainly believe it. Possibility that there could be a false flag incident deliberately engineered to try and ratchet public support for an expansion of this war in the Middle East when the polls show that folks at present would not support it?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, the precedent for that is that they've done that before. We know the Gulf of Tonkin incident never happened, and that was the lever for getting us into Vietnam. So, sure, I expect anything from these people.
It could happen again, folks. We'll be back. This is Mark Antonoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Daily Awasthi of Liberist.com. Stay tuned.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergy take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
Soleus.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural homeopathic time-tested remedies, visit soleilwellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator. For a lot less than you'd expect, this portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
We're back. This is Mark Gantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Crossing Network. We are joined today by Dr. Dalia Wasfi. You can find Dr. Wasfi's website at liberatethis.com. I wanted to remind her and also the listeners to the show that this is, again, a time when there is a great amount of frequent commercial interruption in these next 10 minutes or so, and then there will be a longer period of time for more extended conversation. Again, we'd like to ask you to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can do that at www.republicbroadcasting.org or give us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's www.republicbroadcasting.org and the World Wide Web or at 1-800-724-2719. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling, utilizing those same contact points, www.republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. Dr. Wasfi, looking at this whole question then of withdrawing from Iraq militarily, you're certainly one who advocates that we do so and that we do so as quickly as possible. I'm taking a look this morning at a piece with Truth Out that emphasizes the Senate narrowly passed a $124 billion war spending bill after an emotional debate about the best way forward in Iraq. The vote will send the measure to President Bush, who has vowed to veto it because it would require American troops to begin withdrawing by October the 1st. The House has passed a series of legislation, of course, which does contain language about a withdrawal by a certain stated deadline. And yet at the same time, both the House and the Senate, of course, are paying billions of dollars in additional war spending. What are we to make of this? And do you think that this approach will continue to get support when you have people like Kucinich on the left and Ron Paul, libertarian, paleocon right, simply saying we ought to get out of there?
Well, I think that we've already seen that the Democrats in the Senate could have blocked renewal of the funding with filibuster not too long ago. So this makes it – all the machinations that we're seeing now makes it look like the Democrats are trying, and they'll come back to their constituency and say, oh, you know, we tried, but, you know, we just couldn't – you know, whatever we do, Bush will veto it. And – And to me, it's all a lot of crap. They've done, since they've taken power, they've done a whole lot of non-binding resolutions, which is not acceptable. This is the people are demanding a change and simply cowering to the will of Republicans. And that's really why I hold them equally responsible, because they have the practice. But every step of the way, from the beginning of the invasion of Iraq, they have supported it and they have funded it. So they are by no means an alternative to what the Republicans are saying. And there are a couple lone voices, like Kucinich, who's filed articles of impeachment against Cheney and is calling for immediate withdrawal, that those are the people to back.
Yes. We'll be back. This is Mark Danvers, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Dalia Wasfi of LiberateThis.com. Stay tuned.